Yes, we love to see regular teeth.
We love to see regular teeth.
We hate spinnerbait, but we love regular teeth.
We love regular teeth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love Kelly's rainbow blanket.
Yes, here on this beautiful month of Pride, we stan a rainbow blanket.
We do. That blanket lived rent-free in my mind forever. It was, like, iconic. I'm Michael Ann, and with me, as always, is Bethany. Bethany.
Hi.
Tomorrow's the 100th freaking Eras Tour show.
I'm very excited. I'm very jealous that we're not there. But Same. A girl can't be greedy. She can't be in all the countries seeing all the shows. But I wish. I wish I was smart enough to say that I sought out Liverpool because I knew it was the 100th show. I certainly didn't. Honestly, when we were applying for, you could pick up to 5 cities when European dates were announced. And I knew UK might be kind of hard, but I was like, well, London will probably be the hardest one. And Liverpool's actually at Anfield, which if you know anything about soccer, which I doubt many of you do listening to this podcast. But hey, we can be diverse people. I think that Anfield is a really cool stadium with a really cool history. It's the home of Liverpool Football Club. And I was like, that'd be a really cool place to see Taylor Swift. And like maybe Liverpool won't be as like crazy as London. And also like the Beatles are from Liverpool. So there'd be like cool things to go see if we went there. And I did put that down as one of our 5 cities. Spoiler alert, obviously we did not get it. Y'all know where we went. And I'm not mad about where we went, obviously. But then I was like a little FOMO when I was like, oh, it's me, the 100 show, and everyone keeps leading to like she's hinting at things and whatever. But you know what? Happy for those people. I'll be happy for those Scousers that will be in attendance, and can't wait to see the live streams and what happens. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for some more Bridgerton. And
yes, more Bridgerton.
Really hyped to hear Michael Ann rant about this movie.
Yeah, I have really bad news, everybody. This was hard to get through.
She was not a fan.
And
it's not great, if we're being honest. It's not a great movie.
It's like,
but
it's
I have a weird kind of love-hate relationship for it. Like, I have like a little bit of nostalgia for it, I think, in my heart still.
Yeah. I have big time nostalgia for it. I mean, Hilary Duff is giving her all in this movie. She's the best iconic part. She's carrying this movie on her fucking back.
She sure is.
In the year 2022.
In the year 2022?
Nope, in the year 2002.
I was like, what? I was like, that is not the year that we were in or the year that this movie was made. So I don't know what 2022 has to do with it.
Oh, silly Billy. Okay. Silly Billies. We'll get into my thoughts and feelings, but we should start off. And it opens up with that iconic song that all millennial women remember. I'm a one girl revolution.
Great song, honestly.
Great song.
Truly iconic.
Yeah.
Also, this like art school that she goes to, it opens up and she's like, a city girl. Which like this open narration is hysterical. But it's like very teenage girl to me to be like, I never thought the memoir, but like just very so ridiculous. Yes. But
it's like, really ridiculous.
It's cute. It's over the top, but it's like something that a teenage girl would say. When you're a teenage girl and you think that, like, you are the main character of life, you know?
Yes.
But this art school is really something. Also, this outfit is so peak 2002 beauty. Like, fantastic outfit.
I know.
Little piece of blue fake hair that she has in her ponytail.
Oh, my God. That was one of the things I wrote down is she's wearing this fake hair scrunchie that's, like, purple and black. It's insane looking, but it's so 2002.
So 2002. This art school or whatever, it's like a very like progressive kind of like free thinking school seems a little bit of a caricature of one, but also like kind of dope.
I know.
I was kind of like, I kind of like this school, actually. I know we're like kind of not supposed to be rooting for it in this movie. Well, kind of. I guess the theme of this movie is kind of like being a team is good, structure is good, but also like bringing your individualism, like being an individual is also good. I don't know. I don't really know what this movie is trying to say. I feel like both of those things kind of.
I don't know what the fuck this movie is trying to say, man. Like, I was like, what is the message here? Is there one? I don't know.
Yeah. In my mind, so again, when like these previews first came on the Disney Channel about this movie, you think that like she does something bad. Because again, like back in the day, the joke was always like, yes, you were sent to military school if you're like a bad kid or whatever. Like that was always like a running thing on TV shows, movies, potentially in real life. I don't know. I never actually knew someone who got sent to military school, but I'm sure it's a real thing. But you would think that she like did something wrong. And the way the movie starts, you're like, oh yeah, she like goes to this radical school and she's like an artsy girl and she's gonna like, and she bumps into the goldfish, you know, whatever, fish tank. So you think that like her family's sending her here because she screws up, but no, like that's not the plot line of this movie. And honestly, I kind of forgot that until I rewatched it for this podcast and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, like she didn't do anything wrong. Like I thought she was sent there to like straighten up her act.
Yeah. Like, so <no. laughs> when I have written down when she knocks over the fishbowl, I'm like, is she about to get sent to military school because she knocked over a fishbowl?
Right.
No. But I really thought that's where we were going. I was confused. I was like, I don't know. But it's not where we went, people, okay? She gets sent to the completely opposite school of what she's used to with absolutely no information regarding the rules or the situation at all.
Do you think there would be some kind of orientation or her new stepfather would have given her some... And I understand for, like, the purpose of the movie, that can't happen because, like, comedy, like, fish out of water, whatever. But honestly, let me tell y'all. We, of course, host a podcast that's all about Sarah Dessen and Sarah Dessen moms. And this mom is, like, such a Sarah Dessen mom. Because I was like, how dare you not tell your daughter any of this? Or, like, let her have any say. Like, you marry this guy, he gets a new job, and you're like, yep, we're going to move upstate, and you're going to go to that school. And I'm like, are there no other schools upstate that she could go to? Like, exactly. Why are there no options for her? Like, why is she automatically going to military school? Like, I don't understand. But yeah, this mom, like, I was so unimpressed by her and underwhelmed by her, and she kind of disappointed me, honestly. And I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but, like, in the scene later on where she, like, kind of has a breakdown and was like, I was never effing asked anything, I was like, damn straight, she wasn't. She was just told that she was going to, like, go to this school, and then y'all are shocked that she's not thriving at it. Like,
right,
get out of here.
Your daughter, who's been going to, like, a free-form progressive art school for her whole life, is not adjusting well to a strict military school. What are the odds?
Shocker.
Can't believe it. I'm blown away by that information.
Absolutely.
When they're at the talking together at dinner before, like, anything happens, she's like, if you're going to be part of this family, you got to learn how to slouch. And then she does this, like, thing that's, like,
a little, like, shoulder shimmy.
A little shoulder shimmy with a little facial expression. And I was like, Hillary, that was one of your best moments in this film. She's so funny in this movie.
Yes. She's does have really very funny. Charisma. May I also say, pro to this film, again, I don't know why this keeps coming up. This came up. I watched Notting Hill on the flight over to Sweden. And later in the trip, I was talking about how it was so refreshing, like, movies in the late 90s, early 2000s, when people still had, like, normal teeth. Because, like, now every celebrity, like, immediately gets veneers. And some people pull off veneers. Again, our mother, Taylor Swift, 100% has veneers. I think that hers look pretty natural, though. Like, they look pretty good. It's not, like, startling. But some celebrities, it is just so startling, and it's just annoying. And this movie, like, everyone had normal, natural-looking smiles. And I was like, oh, my God, it's like Hilary Duff when she sold her first pair of teeth era. We love that for her.
Yes.
Her natural teeth. I love that girl. I love my girl Hillary, but her veneers are very obvious. And again, this is like everyone in this movie, like Sean Ashmore in this movie, Chrissy Carlson Romano, like they all have, again, they all have nice teeth. Like Hillary Duff had nice teeth. And because they weren't like absolutely perfect pearly white, which nobody is, that's not a natural thing. She got veneers because, again, a lot of celebrities do. But yeah, like everyone now, just it's like so, you can't watch a movie without being like, ah, teeth. And it's just nice sometimes.
Let's or reality TV.
Like or reality TV or any Instagram influencers. Like, everybody has veneers.
Yeah.
And it's just really nice to see people have, like, oh, like, these are celebrities that have nice teeth, but they're not, like, perfect. And chef's kiss. We love that.
Yes, we love to see regular teeth.
We love to see regular teeth.
We hate spinnerbait, but we love regular teeth.
We love regular teeth. Make the merch. Print that sticker, baby. We live for it. We love regular teeth. But yes, I was just like, oh my God, Hilary Duff, like in this era, like peak, like Disney Channel fame, peak Lizzie McGuire fame, absolute, like her outfits when she's not in her like military garb, absolutely slaying the game in this movie. And her beautiful little normal teeth. I love all of it. I love it so much.
you gotta love normal teeth. You gotta
love it. You got to love it.
Yeah, I write, I'm sorry, it's kind of fucked up to make her go to military school. And then I wrote, don't go on a tangent about the documentary you watched this weekend.
Now I need you to go on a tangent about the documentary you watched this weekend. You can't voice that out loud and then not here on a Chaos Thursday go on a tangent. That's what Chaos Thursdays are for.
Okay, just like a brief overview because it's very dark, but it's called The Program on Netflix, and it is about schools that parents used to send, or I think they still exist, they're like troubled teens to, and it's those schools that they would like break into your house in the middle of the night and like handcuff the kids and drag them, and then like
straight kind of stuff.
Yes. And then like surprise surprise, the school wasn't a school, it was just a place for them to torture kids, quite literally. But I was like watching this like, this is like just a couple steps away from this military psycho school where the girls can call each other maggots and scream at each other.
Yes. Not to sound like a free loving hippie, which I am, but I so I'm gonna sound like one. But personally, I'm just like not, especially with people whose frontal lobes are still developing, a big fan of negative reinforcement. Like I just don't think that works. Really. I know people are like, kids these days are too soft, whatever. But like positive reinforcement is a good thing, especially for people whose brains aren't fully developed. And I'm more of that. I've never understood this, like, let's send our kids to military school or let's do like the scared straight thing to get our kids who are misbehaving to behave better. And it's like, no.
Yeah, all the kids,
I don't understand.
In the documentary, like all of the now adults are like, I don't have a relationship with my parents anymore because I'm so mad at them for essentially like sending me to a torture camp.
And I'm not saying that structure is necessarily a bad thing. Like, obviously, some people really do thrive off of structure. But I think there's a difference between structure and, like, calling someone a maggot and being like, that's okay. Which, again, like, a lot of these things, and not just military schools, but Greek life and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, hazing is a big thing. And I just, like, look at me. And I understand this is, like, a fictionalized Disney version and, like, obviously, no one's, like, hazing someone in a Disney movie. Well, actually, there have been some where that kind of happens. But it's always, like, funny hijinks. And I was like, oh, that's not very funny, Disney. But still, it just kind of – I also was thinking, I was like, this movie came out in the era of very, like, pro-military, gay. Which, again, this came out in 2002. In 2004, they had that movie Tiger Cruise, which was another DCOM. That was very in during this time, which, again, makes sense because we, of course, were all living in a very fresh post-9/11 world. So, obviously, the military was recruiting hard, y'all, because they needed people to go fight their wars. And yeah, Disney did have some things to do with that.
Yes. Yeah. Like, there's, like, in the beginning of the movie, this is one of the problems I have. In the beginning of this movie, she's, like, kind of fighting back on the whole, like, war, idea of war. You know, like, she says that thing that's, like, I am a conscientious objector.
I love that scene, by the way. First of all, it's very funny because everyone's, like scoops in. Like, what? Like, a record scratch moment. So it's honestly quite a fun, like, it's a good comedic moment for our girl, Hilary Duff. But also, I just love that that's mentioned in a movie that, like, you know, someone can be a conscientious objector. I was like, hell's yeah.
But then at the end of the movie, she becomes, like, into it. And she's, like, raising her hand in class to be like, oh, so this is the best way to move your military around a battlefield. I'm like, what the fuck? Love
military strategy. And I'm like, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. It's like very strange. Yeah. This movie. So she's in the thing. She's trying to be individual. Mm-hmm. All the girls like walk over to her bunk and they're like, Captain Stone sucks. And then they're all like, Brad is so handsome. He's the most handsome guy I've ever seen. The most beautiful man in the world. It's like, whoa, ladies, chill out.
Chill. I'm going to need y'all to chill. We do get to meet our girl, Carla, a.k.a. Hazel from Degrassi.
Hazel from Degrassi. Okay, Hazel
from Degrassi. What's up, Jimmy's girlfriend? And Paige's friend. Hazel had some other defining qualities, I'm sure. That's pretty much all I know about her from Degrassi, honestly. They didn't give her a lot of juicy storylines. She deserved better.
They gave her something, but now I can't remember what it was.
I think she was sort of part of like the big shooting arc, which again is how Jimmy ended up in the wheelchair.
Yeah, she was definitely part of the shooting arc, but there was like something else scandalous that she did at some point. She had a
like stand up to Paige moment at one point, which honestly was well deserved. And then she kind of just like disappeared at a certain point.
Yes. Poor Hazel. You deserve more.
You deserve so much more. I also really like Cadet Ramos. Is that Gloria? I think is her first name.
Gloria.
She's pretty great in this movie. Love her. She's good. We'll get to more of her later. But yeah, these are some of the people who were in the bunk we're going to introduce. And again, it just drives me crazy that no one explains anything to her. Well, Carla does warn her, in fairness, about the blanket. But then, yeah, we finally get our introduction to Jennifer Stone. And obviously, it does not go well. But yeah, I feel like these are things that, like, while we were moving upstate, that Sir, as she calls her stepfather, that, you know, Sir should have probably explained some things to her. Like, I just don't understand. I don't know. I feel like things would be explained to you, but...
Yeah, I feel like some sort of guidelines would have been drawn. Like, he's the principal.
Yeah, for goodness
sakes. Also, I love when she does her first, like, room check or whatever, and she, like, stomps on the pillow, on the blanket. And she's like, you're on my list, maggot. And Hillary Duff goes, you'd be on my list if I had one. I was like, that was a good line. That was a good line.
Get it, girl. Get it, girl.
She was so, she had good comedic timing, I feel like. Especially for, you know, a kid's movie. You know, she's got good child.
She's a good child comedian.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Also, the next day, I want to point this out. Kids probably wouldn't realize this, but I did.
But I did.
When they wake them up in the morning, they're like, it's 0800 hours, which is 8 a.m. And then when they're like in line, they're being told what's going to go down in their day. And they're like, drills at 6 o'clock. Classes start at 6:45. It's like, wait. So what time is it? 8 a.m. Right.
Yeah.
And it's military time. So they're not talking p.m., people. They're talking 6 a.m. Oh, 600 hours.
Right. And who would be starting classes at 6 o'clock at night? That doesn't make sense either. So, yeah, it would have to be a.m. And because it is obviously military time. AKA like what the rest of the world uses and we don't, because America. Don't know why. I truly have no idea why we use the time that we do, but I'm a dumb American and I like it, so I'm gonna keep doing it. But yeah, I don't understand that. But yeah, I'm sure obviously most kids didn't. And again, it's to have the joke of like, she doesn't know the time and everyone else does. And it's like, again, this is something that probably should have been explained to her, to be honest.
Yes. What was this stepfather doing their whole time they were moving up here?
Like, truly, sir.
Sir, where have you been? What are you doing? And then at one point, he's like, when she gets in trouble or whatever for like painting that girl's hair or whatever, she is like listening in to the stepdad and the mom's conversation. And the stepdad's like implying that she could ruin his like reputation. Yes! And I'm that like,
pissed me off, to be honest. That scene really irked me.
Me too. Because first of all, shut the fuck up. And second of all, did you do anything to help her? Right. Like anything to adjust to this way of life? Like,
Also, as you all know, one of my favorite things to do is look up how old someone should be in a movie. And this scene where he's disciplining her for painting said, you know, lots of rainbow imagery in this movie. Hashtag just saying. But we see you, Cadet Kelly.
There was some queer tension in this movie, I will say. You know,
just saying. So when she, of course, gets in trouble and then she has to go, you know, she gets court-martialed, which is the scene where she overhears, and which, again, like, this is the one time where the mom's, like, kind of defending her and is, like, really, like, one girl is going to ruin your, like, whole reputation, your whole little stupid school. And he's like, I didn't think so until I met this girl, and I would have been, like, divorced now. No one divorced. Is talking about my daughter like that, truly. And poor Kelly over here is just like, I have to help this grown-ass man learn how to bring a baby into the world. No. No, because you're a teenage girl and he is a grown-ass man and he should know how to do that. But, and,
oh, sorry.
Oh, so I was going to say, in the scene where he's talking about, like, you know, the drill team or whatever and his trophy from 1970, and I was like, so you're, like, a real, real grown-ass man. Because, you know, like, sometimes when you watch movies from, like, 2002 and you're like, I don't know if this adult looks old because, like, adults back in the day looked older than, like, we do now as adults, you know, or whatever. Or if, like, you really are, like, that old. But I was like, this man looks like pretty old, okay? And she's like acting like, I'm gonna have to help him learn how to be a father. And I was like, he's a grown man. I was like, he's a general. Like, you have to be a certain age to have, like, made that much, or, you know, like, that high of a rank in the military and stuff. But anyhow, so then, of course, I was like, well, wait a minute, how old is this actor in this movie? Because that should be about, I was like, if 1970 he was in school, like, what? In, like, high school. So I, of course, looked it up, and the actor was, like, 46 at the time, which I'm not saying is decrepit by any means, but I was like, so you're telling me that you, like, a 14-year-old girl needs to teach this 46-year-old man how to be a father? I'm honestly pissed off about that implication, Disney.
And then that story goes nowhere. Like, yeah. She's like, I have to teach him how to be a dad, so you think you're going to get, like, a montage of them together or something, like, spending time together, right. But no.
But it was one scene of her rappelling, like, him agreeing to let her do something her rappelling down a cliff and him hugging her. And she's like, he's ready now.
Right. I'm like, and, like, there was this crazy time jump, too. Like, she's like, Mom, I want to tell you, like, I don't want to be here anymore. But instead, Mom's like, I'm pregnant. And so she's like, okay, I got to, like, stick it out, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, to a 13-year-old, it probably makes sense. But right. Or however old she is.
13, 14. They never, like, expressly say, but I want to say, but we know how old Chrissy Carlson Romano's character is because they say that at the beginning. We know she is 16. Yeah. But I don't know. Also, it kind of gives me the ick. And again, like, the Brad storyline never really goes anywhere.
Nope.
But no, Hillary Duff at time of filming was 15. Sean Ashmore was 23. And that kind of gives me the ick that, like, they have her flirting with him. Even though, again, they never have them kiss or anything. Which, like, maybe that could be why they never took it anywhere. And if so, thank you, I guess. But I'm still disturbed that you had a 23-year-old guy supposed to be the romantic love interest of an actress who is 15. But, you know.
Yeah. Disney. What can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, that story, like, they started off being like, oh, Stone. Yeah. She loves, you know, this guy. And then they have, like, zero interactions. And at the dance, when Hillary Duff does that absolutely ridiculous, like, roll down a hill, doors.
No way.
It's the most unhinged thing I've ever seen in my life. But he's, and she gets the, you know, the Chrissy Carlson Romano's dress, like, all dirty. He's, like, standing there laughing at Chrissy Carlson Romano. I'm like, okay, are they dating or are they not dating? Is this? Yeah. Unclear.
Unclear. I will say that me and my sisters had the biggest crush on Sean Ashmore back in the day. He was in the X-Men trilogy. He was Bobby / Iceman. And we thought he was just the cutest thing. I also watched him in the Disney Channel original show In a Heartbeat. And in this movie. What a little cutie. What a little cutie. But still gives me the ick that there was that age discrepancy. And they kind of had a people up. But you know what? It's fine. They didn't really, like, cross any lines. But yeah, it was kind of confusing. Like, you think it's leading to, like, she's going to get the guy or he is going to stay with her. But yeah, it's like they're, like, meant to be. They go the dance. He laughs at her. And then Hillary Duff starts flirting with him. Again, it never really goes anywhere. And then they're all, like, on the drill team together at the end. But it's never, like, she's with him. Hilary Duff is with him. No one really ever completely gets with him, which is fine. Again, they're teenagers. Yeah. It's like, it's, you know, obviously even if they ended up together, it wouldn't be like necessarily a love made to last. But it is strange that they set it up to be kind of this like love triangle situation, and then it never really goes anywhere. There's a lot in that movie. Things being set up and then them just never really going anywhere with it.
Yeah, and like it feels like the first half of the movie is like connected. The first half of the movie like really does follow like a timeline that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then like with no warning, all of a sudden we fast forward because mom is like 9 months pregnant. Yeah. Like all of a sudden. And you're
also,
like,
also her dad being like, "You're huge." It was a lot.
That was a lot. Yeah.
Like, okay, that's rude. And like she was pregnant with your daughter, so you know what she looks like as a pregnant person.
Right, right. She's not huge. She's providing a child. Providing a child? I don't know. Whatever. You guys. She's
growing a life in her womb.
I need a nap. I need a fucking nap.
It's one of those days.
It's just one of those days. It is one of those days. And I think that it being one of those days is what's bringing me into this movie with such a negative attitude. But it just really, kids are smart.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of frustrating that this movie, as I said, like that has this huge time jump that's like not explained. And then like all of a sudden in like, you know, the last quarter of the movie, you're getting like, okay, her relationship with her stepdad's great. Dad is apparently a bionic man who can fall several feet onto rocks and not die. Or be injured.
When they first show up and he is not moving at all and there's like a trail of blood behind him, you're like, that man is dead. But it's a Disney Channel original movie and you're like, they're not gonna kill him and this is gonna be her big heroic moment. But which like shows that she like has grown and she's gonna prove herself to her stepdad, and it's like, screw you, Disney. Yeah, I'm like, there's no way he would go from completely not moving to then like, he's chill. I'm like, where did he fall? He is dead. That man is dead. You can't tell me. Everybody.
That man is dead. That man is dead.
He's dead.
And like,
they're really trying to tell me that he isn't.
What was a 14-year-old, 15-year-old fucking scaling the side of the cliff to get down to him gonna do for anybody?
I was like, if he has a head or neck injury, you can't move him, so what are you doing? And she's like, no, I have to go down there. And I'm like, what is that doing? Like, what did she do? Because then again, they still have to wait. Also, the timing of this, like, they're in the competition and like, yes, they go off, she rappels down a mountain, she checks on her dad, medical help clearly comes because the next time we see him he is on a stretcher. Medical help clearly comes and she still makes it back in time to do her like little dance thing with Christy Carlson Romano. No, I call baloney. There's no way.
Right. I'm like, how long is this competition? Also, at one point during the competition, like her phone goes off because her dad tries to call her and she's like, oh, it's my dad, I'm sorry. And they all like yell at her and get mad at her. And then like it's literally 2 minutes later, she goes behind the bleachers to call him and stepdad walks up and he's like, what's up? And she's like, I haven't heard from my dad in a couple hours. I'm like,
yeah, and I'm like, I don't think it was a couple hours. It was like 2 minutes ago.
I'm like, what is the competition? What is the timing of this movie? What is happening? Are they living on an alternate universe?
Right. Like, I have a lot of questions. I'm like, couple hours. Like, it just in this competition scene 2 minutes ago, you were
right.
Also, like, Carla, like, everyone was, like, being really mad at her in that scene, like, doesn't track for me because, like, Carla, whatever, like, her friend shows up from her, like, hippie school and her, like, free-thinking liberal school. And so she shows up and she's like, oh, my God! And I love that any scene that they're in together, they just go, ah! To each other. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. I love that. But I love it. It's fantastic. And so anyway, so they do their, like, ah! And then she's like, this is my oldest and truest friend. And Carla's like, butt her. And it's like, I get it. Like, teenagers, like, it is almost like sometimes, like, when you're younger, like, it is almost like competition of, like, who's closer friends and whatever. And Carla's like, I thought we were really good friends. But, like, I don't think most people would really take that offensively, like, would be that upset about it to where later she's like, I don't know, why don't you ask your truest friend? And it's like, you know what she meant. Like, and like, best friend is a term that people throw out, like, especially when you're a teenager, to like everyone. Like, I'm like, it's not, whatever. Like, if she would have done something to, like, really, like, I think if they wanted Carla to be upset with her, like, there was a better way to play that. Like, she could have, like, betrayed her, or, like, done something, like, not been there for her. Because Carla's big thing throughout the whole movie was, like, you know, like, one of the things this school teaches you is, like, we're there for each other. We're a team. And she was a really good friend to her. And she helped her do her little punishment with the drill team and did all this. So if, like, she had, like, bailed on Carla for something, you're like, yes, I could see Carla being mad. But her friend showing up and being like, oh, my God, this is my bestie. I'm like, come on. Like, who would really be that offended by that?
That's the thing. And then, like, that's all that happens. That's all that's said. And then, like, when she's got dad and dad, and she calls them both her dad, you know, after they save him from the mountain, and he, like, looks at her and he's like, Kelly, you can have more than one best friend.
Yeah. Which is so and weird. I'm like,
where did that even come from? Like,
is that a lesson of this movie? Because if so, like, I have no idea where that came from.
I just feel like they were doing, like, they had too many, like, plot points, yeah. And what they needed to do was, like, condense and restructure and, like, focus on one, like, focus on either her becoming a military person or her friendship, her enemy to friendship with Chrissy Carlos and Romano, which I remember them, like, I thought this movie was, like, about them becoming friends, but no, they would, all she does, they, like, dance together, and then they're like, that's it. And, or, like, the best friend situation or the stepdad situation. Like, there was too many, and none of them rounded out. Like, none of them were doing, like, worked. Yeah. The boyfriend
time with, like, any of them. Yeah, because, like, the best friend thing storyline, like, literally is such a flash in the pan. At the beginning of the movie, we know she has this friend. She is sad to leave her. She doesn't mention her for the entire, like, she's never like, I really miss my friend, or, you know, I feel like I'm betraying my friend by getting close to Carl. Like, there was never a thing. No. So it was such a weird takeaway for her to show up for her big thing, her be excited to see her, Carla to be pissed, and then her stepdad to give her this life lesson that you can have more than one best friend. I was like, was that a genuine concern she had? Was that a genuine issue of this movie? Because I didn't realize it was. Like, bizarre.
It's, and, like, so weird.
The dad thing, too, is so funny. So at the beginning of the movie, we see him briefly, and we're kind of like, oh, he's a little, like, out there. He's also kind of artsy. He goes, travels a lot and, like, takes photographs and stuff. And we learn that he's klutzy and, like, kind of useless. Like, she goes, like, she has to hail the cab and whatever. I do like the line where she's like, I have to do everything around here, which also is, like, so teenage girl, like, fantastic. But yeah, so, like, there's all that or whatever. So at the beginning, you're like, okay, he's a klutz. And at the end, she's like, sir, my dad is known to take risks, sir. And I was like, risks? Or is he just klutzy? Because the movie kind of establishes he was klutzy. Not that he's bold and he take risks. And I was like, what? No, it's like, if they were, she would have been like, he doesn't pay good attention sometimes. And he can wander off. And, like, I'm afraid that he might have gotten hurt. That would make more sense than he's bold and takes risks. And I'm like, does he? Did the movie establish that? Because I'm not sure.
Never. Like, maybe because he travels the world. Yeah, that was another thing. It was like, what do you mean? The whole time I thought he wasn't showing up because he was a deadbeat dad, and I was like, this is kind of weird. I didn't really think he was a deadbeat dad, but if you think about it, he travels a lot, so I don't know. And then all of a sudden she's like, he's hurt, and I'm like, wait, what? He's hurt?
how are we led to know that he is hurt? Also, the other thing that kind of drives me crazy is, for some odd reason, and I'm like, is this a real military school thing? Anyone out there, if you went to military school, please let me know. Where she has to, like, refer to herself in the third person all the time. She's like, this cadet. And I'm like, do people really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard people talk like that. Like, is that a real thing?
I don't know.
Not that I'm aware of. Again, I don't know how anyone went to military school. I know people that have, like, been in the service, but they don't usually come home and go, this private. Like, I've never seen anyone refer to themselves in that way. And I was like, this is a weird through line of this movie that she keeps referring to herself in the third person, and I don't know why they thought that was necessary.
I don't either. Oh my god, this, when she falls into Chrissy Carlson Romano, they stay connected in a weird hug for way too long. I'm like, this doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No.
Again, edit, people, restructure, try again. It's like in Elf, when he's like, they're like, there's no ending to this book, and he's like, well, whatever, they're kids, they don't need an ending to a book.
And it's they do.
This is like, they're way kids.
Smarter than you give them credit for. The other day at work, I had a kid go, you know what I did the other day that was unnecessary? Loved that. Loved that. I was like, this 6-year-old child just said, you want to know what I did the other day? So I was like, also, I love that you're calling yourself out. And I was like, yes, what did you do? And then they told me the story. And I was like, yeah, that was a perfect example of like something you did that like you didn't need to do. Like you were being extra about. And like they knew it. Like kids are smart. Like they hear, yeah. they parrot things. They hear things. They know way more. Like all of my nieces and nephews, more my nephews, went through an actually phase, and sometimes it wasn't necessary to use the word actually, and sometimes it was, but it's like they hear adults saying it and they want to bring it into their sentence structure, and it's my favorite thing. Like I love when a kid is like actually, and you're like, well, that wasn't necessary in that sentence, but like I see what you're trying for. Kids are fantastic and they're very smart, and they deserve good story structure and things that make sense.
Yeah, I just wish this was structured better. Like, I remember loving it as a kid, but that's definitely because I was obsessed with Hilary Duff.
I was going to say, I think we all have fond memories of it because Hilary Duff. 100%. Yes. It's like, oh, yeah, my girl Hilary.
And I did really enjoy her in this movie, and I really wish...
Yeah, 100%. I wish
they used Chrissy Carlson Romano better. Like, she's real. Like, she's one of the main characters, and she really doesn't even talk that much.
Yeah, she really... I really... rewatching it, I was surprised how little screen time she has and how little character development her and Hilary Duff have, especially on the poster. It is billed like as the two of them, like a co-starring, like, yes, Hilary's a little bit more, but like basically she is the second lead, and I'm like, she kind of isn't, in a sense. And it is a shame because she, again, like at that time she was also in her Disney Channel Prime, like she was fantastic on Even Stevens. Like if you gave that girl some meaty work, she had great comedic timing, she had great, you know, stuff like that, and it's just kind of sad that they didn't utilize her more, in a sense.
Yes. And then at the end she's like, there is no next year for me, I'm moving to Europe. Another thing that was like, this didn't need to be in the story. This doesn't make any sense.
We could have just ended it with, next year, you know? Like, yes. I was like, why did we have to end with, like, this new plot thread? Yes, that was also strange. I agree.
And it was like, so is this movie about them becoming friends, or is this movie about them getting to know each other enough for her to fucking move to Europe? I'm like, what is going on here?
Never see each other again.
Never see each other again.
But yeah, Xenon, you hold up. Cadet Kelly. Yes. Mixed bag. Again, Hilary Duff, fantastic. Certain lines like, sir, may I borrow some spit, sir? Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Crack me up. It's just so weird, but fantastic. But overall, it's a mixed bag. There's more bad than good, I feel like, upon rewatching it as an adult.
Yes. A couple things I wrote down. Okay, so in the first competition, when she's not in the competition yet, and they're like, unarm them, and then that little team does that little like dance. It was very reminiscent of Camp Rock. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. That's funny.
Also, he says, the boy, cutie, he's like, Cadet Stone, blah 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 blah, and then she walks away to do whatever he told her to do, and then he goes, Cadet Kelly, like her name. Would her name not be Cadet Collins?
Yeah. It's very strange that Kelly, they call a lot by her first name, and everyone else, they call, like, and her little name badge does say Collins. Yeah. But they very rarely call her Cadet Collins, which they would. Like, in military, it is usually, like, we all, like, had friends in the ROTC in school. Well, probably not you, because you went to an all-girl Catholic school. But us public school kiddos had friends in the ROTC, and that was always the thing. Like, I actually had a friend, Kelly, ironically, who was in the ROTC in high school, and no one called her Kelly because, like, that was friends with her from ROTC. They always called her by her last name, which makes sense because that is a military thing. So, yes, that does bother me in the movie that, like, everyone else gets called by their last name for the most part, and, like, that kind of, like, in a formal way, except for her. I think, like, one time they call her Cadet Collins, and I was like, yeah, that's what she should be called.
That's what she keep it fucking
consistent.
Yeah, keep it consistent, people.
Yeah, it's very strange to me. I was like, so she's Stone, and this one is, you know, blah, blah, blah. Also, like, do they ever call Brad by his last name? I feel like I only know him as Brad.
I feel like they did.
And that they must call him by his last name.
I know that they did at one point when they were like, in the beginning of the movie, I think, when they're, like, all huddled talking about how cute he is, which was, like, so crazy.
Very weird, yes.
Yes, I think they said his last name then. I mean, his last name then. But, yeah, no, I don't know. It's so confusing.
I also like that at the end in the judging, they really had to, like, make it so abundantly clear how close it was. The closest we've ever had by 1 point. I loved it.
It was crazy. Also, they, like, had ribbons. Were they allowed to have those ribbons?
Oh, no. If in a real, like, military drill team thing, if ribbons would have, they'd been like, oh, yes, impressive. I was like, okay. Which, again, goes to that, like, it's like they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too. It's kind of like, look, working as a team is great, and structure, and blah, blah, blah. But also, still be an individual. So they, like, kind of wanted Kelly to still be Kelly, but then, like, fall in line. So they're like, we're going to give her ribbons.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think that actually, again, I was never on a drill team. Maybe you can have ribbons, but I highly doubt it.
I don't know. I mean, nobody else had ribbons. I don't know. I just wish there was a point. Like, we had too many things they were trying to get at, and then they got at none of them. And I'm just like, can we redo this movie? Can we go back in time and redo this movie with the same cast?
Yes.
Please.
Make it better. Make a better line. Yeah. And make it not be the responsibility of a 13-year-old. And again, I understand she thinks it's a responsibility because, like I said, all teenage girls are very, like, you know, kind of self-absorbed and think that they are way more mature than they are and whatever. And so she's like, we are having a baby and I have to teach him. And I understand it's, like, from her point of view. And none of the adults were like, you need to do this. Well, kind of, though, because, like, when they have that conversation, he's like, permission to be taught. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't have to ask a teenage girl how to be a father. Like, that's on you, my dude, to learn.
Maybe they were just doing, like, a cute thing. And he was like, I know what I'm doing, but she's cute. So I'm just going to let her. So
I'm going to let her have this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he was like, oh, like, she's better with, like, the touchy-feely emotions than I am. Because I'm, like, this, like, tough military dude. So I'm going to let her. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm just like, my dude, no.
I know. It was rough. It was rough, all in all. It did not age well.
Yeah.
I wanted to shut it off. And I was like, I can't believe I can't shut this off. But, you know, here we are. We talked about it for 48 minutes. So we're doing
it. Did I get excited when it ended with, I'm a one girl revolution? So
yes.
That's for me. The song choices, yes. 10 out of 10. Hillary Duff, fantastic. Hillary Duff with her normal teeth, extra points. Wish we could have had more Chrissy Carlson Romano. Sean Ashmore, still a cutie.
Fashion was great.
Story subpar. So overall, if I were to give it a ranking out of 5 stars, I would give it like a 2 out of 5.
Yes, I think I place this movie solidly at a 2 out of 5.
Yeah. Happy. And this is going to be the fun thing about revisiting some of these DCOMs, as some of them are going to be like, yes, love, slay, still great, kind of cheesy, but like still fantastic. And then other ones are going to be like, huh, upon further viewing, this did not hold up super well. And this, unfortunately, was one of them.
Yes.
I'm excited to see what we watch next, to see
how
we like it. I hope the fashion and the songs are great. That's what I'm here for.
I am really excited to see what Brink is like as an adult, because I remember that movie being very good and the story being very good.
And it's so probably, I'm like, not.
It's probably not. And I'm like, I need to know now. Like, I need to bring it back into my life.
Yeah, I'm really like, Brink might have to be the next one because I'm very excited. I really haven't revisited that one in a minute, and I will be. I will say I haven't revisited Motocross in like a super recent time, but fairly recently in the last few years I have watched it. So I have watched it as an adult because during the pandemic I made my husband watch some of my favorite DCOMs from growing up. And that one, I think, kind of held up personally for me. I really enjoyed it. So I'll be excited to rewatch that one as well. Because I was like, okay. Like, it had, like, it's a very good mother-daughter story at the end of the day. And I actually think it, like, really held up. So I'll be excited to revisit that one. But yes, I really want to watch Brink because I think it's probably going to be terrible.
It's going to be bad. But in
my mind, it's classic cinema.
Eric Von Detten is just so iconic.
Oh, I mean, God. He was the moment.
He was the early aughts. Mm-hmm. And who knows where he's at now.
Who knows where he's at now.
Maybe he just made that sweet, sweet Disney money. And then he was like, I'm coasting for the rest of my life.
Rode off into the sunset. One could only hope, really.
Yeah.
Good for him, if so.
But do you have any lingering anything else to say?
Just, I'm a one girl revolution.
I'm a one girl revolution, baby.
Thanks for chatting with us, y'all. Take care of yourselves. Go be your own one girl revolution.
Go be your own one girl revolution.
You push the center with that. Oh! I'm so sorry to everyone's eardrums. Honestly, yeah, that's not a good one.